big gap in the backyard, I think, where I can put it. One of my neighbors is about to see it. So, you know, I think you could say that it's got to be hidden completely. But I think you could say it's either hidden or in the same style as, you know, your primary structure. I think that's fine. And just leave some flexibility when you approve it.
So this is kind of interesting. We can't regulate aesthetics on houses, but we can on chicken coops.
Statue doesn't say anything about chicken coops.
Don't say that too loud. General Assembly's never been sanctioned, so it doesn't matter.
I'm going to call that forward.
Do you want a motion or?
Care what y'all do. I'm just doing what council told me to do after they opened the gates.
Well, this has got to go to public hearing, too. You've
got to get it all set. Yeah,
it's animosity in this town.
Yeah, so I mean, this has got to go to public hearing. Yeah, I assume it's a ordinance change.
Not for chapter 5-4, Paul.
Well, I thought, what's your text amending the code? What's your procedure, planning board, PZC looks at and reports and governing board adopts, but there's usually public hearing in there somewhere, but that's maybe just zoning for you guys.
Well, it's up to council, but historically, usually just zoning.
Because they drafted that onto the beach standards, although it wasn't required, so.
Right. But they have brought, they've had public hearings before in areas outside of zoning. So
it seems like your code doesn't require it outside of zoning, but council from time to time deems it advisable.
I think they'd be backing, come up with they'd be backing up big time to do that, though.
If I don't know the language that five of us can
I would say just presented to the council. Just under number three, say located behind the principal structure, and then some language that it's in conformance with the design of the primary house. That's all.
You're asking hard questions.
Meaning hard answers.
I think the 60 square foot combined run and coop is probably fine.
If you put the run in there, it is.
It is combined, so. Yeah,
it is combined.
You know, I mean, I'm seeing like a little chicken coop, a little run down to a little square area that they hang out outside, and then they go back in the area. I mean, it says right there it's the combined size of the coop and the run is 60.
But that's why I think.
So it's not a coop open to the backyard.
No, they say it has to be in a run also. The run has to be fixed.
That's the whole thing.
But I would just say located behind the principal structure
and
designed in conformance with the primary structure.
They're also saying that a 4-foot fence, an open 4-foot fence, does not stop raccoons and everything else from getting into it, or chickens. And so you actually should have some sort of enclosure over them to stop owls from coming in for chickens. So now you're talking about an enclosed run. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which would be limited to 60 feet. But
this year, that was all enclosed, right?
I don't know. I'm just doing what y'all told me to do. You don't be playing.
I don't know.
I sat there.
She's going to come back and the chickens are going to be eaten by some fox. Uh-huh. If they're not enclosed.
Well, we don't have to. I don't think we have
about 3 days to find
out. We don't have to know if they're jail. We don't have to know if that has to be an enclosed run. I mean, it has to be a certain size. If they want to enclose it, they can enclose it. If they want the owls to come and get the chickens, that's
it. Solve the problem.
I see the power of children now.
Well, this thing that the run is an enclosed coyote. Okay. Now, a word. Enclosed can be a fence with an over top, and they're open to
the rest of it. Take 3 months to get this approved. August lawyer takes his time.
And the coop is going to be bigger.
We're going to go to cage.
Because it's got to have a platform here. Sleep on and stuff like that. You put chicken wire around the
fence. That's what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter what you've got. There's a fox in the hen house.
I would change it to 1,250 square foot so you can have 40 feet. Keep the 60 square foot. Just put some language in for an aesthetically pleasing coupe.
Look, I don't care either way. I'm not advocating.
So she has 5 chickens and then you should change it to 1,000.
And tell that little girl she can only have 3 chickens.
No, I don't know.
Pass it on to look for that news.
From the beginning, I think there should be 40. chickens, that's just state laws.
I don't think there's anything wrong with having chickens, you know, so, I mean, no, I told council I'd bring what Carolina Beach brought.
And you've done your job.
I like chickens. However y'all want to change it, they might change it back.
You guys want to have an odd number of chickens, so that's why I think it's important.
Man, look, they have an odd number.
Should always be in twos.
Okay, well, what is...
Chicken laws matter.
Yes, draft some new language for next month.
I mean, I don't have a problem approving this. I mean, we could change that to 1,000 square feet. We're limited to 4. You know, so you can change it to 1,000 square feet so she doesn't have to get rid of one of her chickens. Okay. But I would just say located beyond the principal structure and in conformance with the primary structure. Right? Just something that there's an effort to make it more attractive without using the word aesthetic.
Right. I agree with that. How about constructed similarly?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, whatever language is appropriate to give a hint that, you know, you're just not going to go out there with 4 2x4s and chicken wire and create a coop. That's all.
I mean,
I'm good with that.
I mean, it's not like they have to go get little mini siding and stuff. They can build it out of wood and paint the same color as that.
Yeah.
As well. Just, you know, it's not the same.
Just make it look nice. That's all. I mean, I've had chickens. I like chickens. I wish I could have them right now. I've raised them to my wife.
Our old.
But, so.
We had chickens when I was growing up. I also wanted to
put my coop was a pretty ugly coop. To be honest.
Troubleshoot. Do we need to have something in there, like, for her where tape? She has a pin that she just hides.
She's grandfather B.
She's grandfather. Well, yeah. Somebody else.
Yeah, but if you're gonna put it through all that work of sticking it under the stairs and hiding it, then
I'm thinking about the next person.
I don't think they have anything to worry about. They're hiding it under the stairs.
So that is
they hide
that sighting.
Yeah,
they
hide it. Yeah.
With the coop.
Three reach is not going to be outside of it. Everybody, that's true.
So, John, what's the language you would put there behind under number 3, located behind the principal structure and?
And is similar to the public built and designed and finished in a manner similar to the primary residence.
Okay. I will make a motion to, I guess, approve the language here with the addition of what council just said regarding number 3.
Council, can you repeat that once more time?
Slowly.
Located behind the principal structure and...
And, comma, if visible to the public, comma, or, public time. Designed, constructed, and finished in a manner similar to that of the primary residence.
And then add the addition that roosters
We know she has 4 chickens that she's raising. Is any of those true?
That was all still story.
And then change the square footage. That was one of the world.
So you're going to change number 1 to 1,000 square feet?
I mean, we're going to limit it to 4. I mean, that's going to be the key thing. You know, I'd say. I mean, if you talk about 4,500 square
feet. I think it's important to have some, so to speak, acreage for them. I mean, 1,000 gives you 4. And then you're going to insert at the end of A1.
If we put it 1,000, that means we'll allow almost everybody to have 4. If we have it at 1,500, that means some people might only have 3.
And we don't.
Because we don't have any lots below 4,000, do we?
Yes, sir.
You do?
Yes, sir.
They should have limited anyway for 15. If there's a 2,500 square foot lot, they don't have lots at 2,500 square foot. And then they could have 2 square feet.
So what would you recommend, 1,250 square feet?
Well, I don't think whatever. Most of them lots of 5,000 square feet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a big issue.
So. Did you do 1,200
square feet? Then it goes on and says, but the maximum number.
All right, so I'll make a motion with what we talked about and then change 1,500 square feet to 1,200.
Where do you want to put in no roosters?
Probably as number 5. I think that's a significant enough to have separate.
I don't really like the format that Carolina Beach uses, so we'll be kind of redesigning this to match ours, which is pretty much A and B, A, B, C format.
So you'll cover no roosters somewhere?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So that's my motion.
We'll have a powwow.
Are you second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. All right.
cooking fried chicken tomorrow night.
But I would also like, in a very serious way, because, you know, this is why we call planning and zoning for planning. I think we ought to address the other pet type of issues. You know, I mean, horses. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, we want to breed horses, we should say. So I'd like to have maybe as an agenda item for next to talk about other pets.
Would you like to, I'm not suggesting we do this at all, but would you like to review Belleville's ordinance?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I'll bring copies then.
Because again, we don't have any people asking for horses and stable. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, here's a chicken coop. What happens if somebody comes in and wants to put a stable for a horse or something? And I have horses too, so I know what those look and smell like. So, you know, it's something I think we ought to address, given that it looks like the only thing we can prohibit right now is the noise associated with them and not let them run wild in the street. I just saw a thing about people now have llamas and buffaloes and everything else. So why not?
I'll email you that.
Okay.
Some probably I'll do it tomorrow and pick it up.
Okay, moving on to new business item C. Council directed Mr. Batson to work with us, the D&Z, to recommend what the town's development plan should be.
I have a question. What is development?
I'll go over that.
Mr. Batson gave a...
As simply as I can. I'm not particularly prepared to go over this right now. It's been a busy week so far. I'd like to see it on next month's agenda, if that's okay. I'll briefly go over it. I was a little surprised that council directed me to come bring this up to you, because really we don't have any option or any other option to go with other than what I presented to council last week, so just more of an informative thing than anything. I did present to them a quick PowerPoint on this, but essentially what this comes down to is CAMA more or less has relaxed some of their guidelines for municipalities that have large-scale beach renourishment projects. We have a large-scale beach renourishment project. We are governed right now by what's called a static line that we measure where the houses can be built on the oceanfront. That line is determined by CAMA and would rarely move unless we were hit by a catastrophic storm, and then they would reevaluate that line and move it if needed. Under the new rules that they have put into place, they are allowing municipalities with, once again, large-scale beach renourishment projects to fudge that line and create their own line that could potentially allow structures to move closer to the beach, main house principal structures closer to the beach, and it would actually relax some of the restrictions for larger structures, primarily commercial structures, and how far they would have to be built from the beach. So Carolina Beach just went through this with the Coastal Resources Commission and were granted a development line, as did Oak Island. This happened on September 14th at their quarterly meeting. The way they defined and developed their development line was they used their beach renourishment easements that they have along the entire coast. We have the same thing. In order to have a beach renourishment project, we have to have easements on every single piece of property on the oceanfront. So what they did is they said, okay, we want our development line to be that easement line that runs along our entire coast. That would actually help us and make our lots more valuable and would allow for larger structures on certain properties. It appears that it would allow commercial properties to be more viable as far as building new structures on them because they can get more square footage. This really doesn't affect us by putting that development line there, because there's still measurement standards that have to be met. And it's not like somebody could go out in the middle of a dune system and build a house at this point, by any means. because as it stands right now, our easement line, which would become our development line, nothing can be built waterward of that line except for a beach crossover. So there's a process that we have to go through with this. Council allowed me to contract with a local surveyor to go ahead and put all this on paper on a map so that we can review it parcel by parcel to see how well this, how much this may enhance our property values and whether or not it's something we want to go with.
What's the purpose to enhance property values? Is it just
The reason this rule came about was mainly because of the non-conforming structures along the entire North Carolina coastline. Properties that were built in the 70s and the 80s are no longer conforming, and if they were destroyed by any means, they would not be allowed to be rebuilt in the same footprint that they are now.
Isn't this the big argument that's going on in the south end of the island?
Oak Island just got this, and it will help some of their properties.
Does this positively affect ocean dunes?
It will positively affect ocean dunes from my research and my measurements so far. But council allowed me to spend up to $1,500 that I think is money well spent with the surveyor to go ahead and determine how much benefit we're actually going to gain from this.
There's no chance of it negatively affecting us?
I don't think so.
So you
understand? No worse than where you're at now.
So everybody understands, John and I had met when I was president of the association, and we looked at what happens if we were hit with a hurricane and we were destroyed, and we've never had anything over 50% destroyed, but we have, I think, three buildings that could be rebuilt as they currently are, and we're talking about 21 of them. And the rest of them, some of them could go back with modifications, moving the garage side to the ocean side, this kind of stuff. John will do this. So I'm very concerned about that's 8/10 of a mile that's ocean dunes out there. And that's a major contributor to town taxes and whatever else around here, so we don't want to mess with it.
Well, I've actually done that many times for ocean dunes for different people over the years. I believe this could definitely help ocean dunes. It would help our commercial district. It would help commercial buildings in general. Anything over 5,000 square feet, it would definitely help. But this is from my vague understanding of these rules, because they are vague rules. And it's an evolving rule. When I went to the CRC meeting and listened to them giving their presentations, and then I heard the commission talking about what they were approving, I don't think they quite understood the rule themselves yet, because they were relying on staff the entire time to tell them whether or not. Whatever the case, I'd be happy to present the PowerPoint to you next month. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. I would like to be on the next Coastal Resources Commission agenda, which is in December. But before we get there, I want to wait on these maps so I can go over them in depth with council. And if you'd like, I'm going to go over them in depth with you also.
I'd like to make a motion that John make the presentation next month.
Can you send it out to us as a PowerPoint?
Sure.
All right, before the meeting.
All right. Okay.
It is interesting. I think it's definitely got some good attributes.
Now, speaking of the development line very quickly, I know there's been talk about to what extent we have planning influence going down Dow Road too. Remember, we were having that discussion, but that's kind of been dropped from the discussion. So is that still?
I'm not privy to what you're.
Do you have any ETJ?
We do have an ETJ out there, yes.
And out on the Dow Road side?
Yes, sir.
Well, I think it came up with the sign, so I really did.
Yeah.
Okay, and if that could be extended to other sort of planning elements. So.
Well, yeah, sure. I don't know. Okay. That's a pretty interesting conversation we had about signs there.
Okay, gentlemen, moving on to the member items. Council renewed my five-year term. And the council clarified the intentions that we talked about at our last meeting regarding an alternate member. And to put that in perspective again, it's as of what the five of us thought it should be, that when the alternate is named, he does not get sworn in or she. And that alternate does not come forward to a meeting-by-meeting case until one of the five of us is incapacitated, long-term, quits, moves on, and stops being a full-time member of P&Z. The alternate is just that. Officially, the next member to be sworn in and become a member, but that alternate in that name is not a voting member of our commission.
How do you know with precision what event triggers the alternate being sworn in? Now, vacating a seat, sure, I understand
right.
that. But it sounds a little...
You're talking about like a long-term illness where the person goes...
That or anything else. How do you know when the
alternate... Well, actually, I think in the rules about, you know, vacating the seat is a function of how often you attend.
Yeah,
and
there's some requirements like that. Two meetings in a year, I think you can
be You know, is that unexcused? I mean, if you...
It's unexcused. I mean, you can...
So if somebody's sick and council says, well, we're going to excuse them because they're sick, and that could... I've got
or
a...
Or traveling or something. I mean, we all travel. Sick.
I've got a situation where a member of the board has been out for four meetings. So I guess what you're saying is the triggering event is either vacating the seat or when one board or the other determines that that seat needs to be vacated.
Right. And how we've done it in the past is that we've had in the past a member of the P&Z who simply wasn't showing up.
Right.
Okay. And so after the violation of that two,
right.
you know, then the P&Z made a recommendation to the council.
Got it.
And there was an affirmative type of process rather than a trigger, an automatic trigger.
Yeah, I see how it works now. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we have done it in the past. So.
Even when Jim Schuler was there, you know, when he went for treatment, he was, you know, we knew he was going to be out for a couple of meetings, but then he voluntarily, when he knew he couldn't do it anymore,
right, but we didn't force the issue. But in the other case, you know, like
the other case, we just don't show up.
You just don't show up, and there was no, you know. So we made an affirmative recommendation to council.
So it sounds like that's under control. That's fine.
Well, I thought it was three consecutive meetings that you missed.
That's
what
the third consecutive meeting.
But if somebody has an illness, I mean. The way it happened before, it wasn't an automatic trigger.
Unexcused.
Unexcused. Right. And in this case, I don't even know if it was three consecutive. You had two, then they came and missed two, and you know, so it's a continuous sort of process. And so at that time, we made an affirmative recommendation that, with warnings, that person be removed.
So the alternate, if I understand Chairman correctly, your alternate doesn't get sworn in or participate until there's a formal vacancy.
Basically, all this does is it guarantees that you're saving the time to go research and find somebody and do that. They can be sworn in the next meeting.
Sure, I got you. Thank you.
If he's still available, too. Five of us stay up here for 6 years. That gentleman may move to himself.
Yeah, we just got you for five more years.
I got that clarified. I got called about it. Are you interested? And I said, I haven't even been full time in the town for 5 years yet. And so how does that work? I said, oh. The person you're replacing, the term is what it is. You're just finally done, not you personally.
I got the same call about that.
Okay,
so
Ken, you want to talk about parking?
Okay, I know this has been around, and I've been here for 10 years, and that's all I've ever heard. And I got a couple things I wanted to just bring up. I talked to owner of Quickie Mart. He said that that land that he has next door is not going to be available for parking. He's going to make a determination in 2017 what he wants to do. My understanding is that the expansion of the town hall will take over that lot over there. Is that true?
Yes.
So that'll go away. That lot was pretty full next to Quickie Mart all year, and we all know the expansion of apartments and houses that are coming. So I think we're at a point where we're going to start, even with free parking, pushing people back into the residence and doing things. And we had a couple issues down Curry Village Way where people almost got in accidents because people parked right at the corner, right at the curb, and you couldn't see cars coming. One of the things, and this is where I may have it wrong, is, you know, I went to a couple SLAP meetings and it seems like they did things and presented things, but it had no weight. I don't know if that's my interpretation, I don't know if that's true. So I'm waiting for somebody to tell me, well, SLAP is just a, what I've heard, SLAP is just a voluntary organization that just can go, right? I mean, I'm asking for my education also.
They're just like you as far as presenting recommendations to town council.
But they're a committee, they're a formal committee.
I wouldn't say that they carry no weight whatsoever.
In the sense that they, dictate ordinance, I guess?
They're an advisory committee.
Advisory, okay. So the bottom line of this is that would it be beneficial, once again, in the planning mode, knowing that, you know, looking at 2018, of trying to get some type of bringing planning back to the P&Z and let us look at it from a planning mode and come up with a comprehensive plan that comes all the way down from Alabama down to the dunes and try to develop, understanding that 421 is state. So we're looking at residential, Atlantic, K Avenue, and all the places where we're parked, and with the understanding that we're gonna just keep getting more and more people, and parking is gonna be more and more of a problem. Whether it's paid parking or non-paid parking, my understanding is that the SLAP provided a recommendation to the council several years ago, and nothing ever happened. And that's where I thought maybe we would have a little more push behind it if we could do it.
But SLAP presented several different recommendations to the town several different times. The council, in my opinion, has not been ready to move forward with anything more than we have right now.
And we went through all of this back in March 2015.
I mean, we actually had meetings with them and we did
memorandums, recommendations, made
forward. With who? Between us and...
Yeah, we were involved with, because that committee had been addressing a lot of issues related to paid parking and some other recommendations, and nothing really came of it. So I believe at that time the council asked people to work with them.
Yes.
And so we ended up having, again, some public hearings and all that sort of thing, and nothing, you know, I think the sense is that the council really wasn't interested in moving forward in any sort of direction. They basically said no to paid parking. There were some recommendations regarding egress and ingress, I think, in the lot next to the Quick Mart and some of those, and putting a stop sign there and some stuff like that. But that's where it is. But in terms of parking, I would say if the council wants us to look at it in a comprehensive way, they have to direct us.
Okay. And I would support that. If the council directs us to do that, and I would work very hard to provide you with that, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Well, also, but as I part of the comprehensive plan that was the mayor's initiative, it was a new mayor's initiative, one of the focus areas is all on parking. So I would be surprised prior to that focus group or subgroup or that focus area reporting out or doing something.
I think he's giving a presentation at the next council meeting. I can't remember the gentleman's name.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's working. It's
All I can tell you is we, I understand the council's direction, DZC was involved in this process, got to a certain point and took it back to council, maybe sought direction and guidance, but nothing came of it.
Yeah, we made a few recommendations, they were, you know.
And then there was a territorial dispute between DZ and the other group, SLAP, who had rights to do it. They became a territorial issue, and there was a third group involved. John and I were part of the Cure Beach Citizens Advisory Group, and we got our piece in it too.
I just think it didn't go anywhere up from a policy level with council.
I agree.
I agree.
If council wants to come back and charge this group to do it, I think that's fine, and I'd be glad to work with you on that.
Do you think council's in the same mode as it was, or?
I don't remember what they did.
Well, yes, Joseph.
In what manner?
That they would be receptive to at least start and not just here at the table, if they go, okay, we like this, we don't like that, we like this, go back and work that part.
I'm sure they would, but.
It seems like what I heard.
I don't see it moving forward anywhere.
Pardon?
I don't see it moving forward anywhere.
Okay, well then it's not worth worrying about that right now.
Yeah, it seems to me the major issue is whether we have paid parking or not. I mean, that's, or whether you're going to rent some space, and again, you know, that's a negotiation. I mean, those are the major issues, and you know, whether you're going to restrict, oh yeah, I remember the other thing we were looking at was restricting parking up and down Fort Fisher and some other things too. We came up with
some recommendations. Some HOAs had some problems.
Okay.
Yeah, about what we could do and what we couldn't do and some of those issues.
But it'll be interesting to see what, if Harville has a parking report at council.
I think, Jerry, it's beyond if council shows an interest, they need to direct it. So it's beyond whether we're interested or not. They got to say, we
don't think
it's done, and
we'll do it.
We
touch right
there.
Okay.
I got one other item. The November meeting, I will not be available. I'll be out of town on travel.
I'm a late
chair. You have it.
Oh, yeah. Give me that.
You weren't there.
He was late.
Okay.
I'm sure, so we should.